Heading the list of those matters that disturbed the ruling elite in Mecca was the position that the Prophet began to acquire in the community as the leader of a new faith. Since these people regarded themselves as far superior to anyone else at that time, they imagined that any revelation from Allah would be addressed only to them. For that reason, they ignored that fact that Allah selects for His mercy whomsoever He wills, and rebelled against the Messenger of Allah. Our Lord describes this behavior of the Quraysh leaders in these terms in the Quran. But when the truth came to them, they said, "This is magic, and we reject it." They say, "Why was this Quran not sent down to one of the great men of the two cities? Is it then they who allocate the mercy of your Lord?" Our Prophet demanded that the ignorant society of Mecca abandon all its superstitious beliefs and follow him. This represented a threat to the interests of the leading deniers in that community. For those reasons, the leading associators set about trying to obstruct the Prophet. They first sought to divert him from his path by making various offers. The hadiths report that Utbah bin Rabia, one of the associators of Mecca, approached the Prophet and said, "Why do you say that our ancestors were heretics? If you want money, we will collect enough money for you so that you will be the richest of us. If you want leadership, we will take you as our leader and never decide on any matter without your approval. If you want a kingdom, we will crown you king over us." Without doubt, the Messenger of Allah rejected all such offers. He was an envoy chosen and placed above all the worlds by Allah. He was one of the most determined and courageous men on earth. The Meccan elite soon saw the Prophet Muhammad's determination. In the face of this rapidly spreading faith, they resorted to the same classic tactic as the societies of the ignorant that had preceded them: violence and persecution. The hadiths tell us that they arranged for all the young, strong people with weapons from all the tribes to kill our Prophet. Our Prophet, a highly courageous individual, personally participated in the thickest battles and engaged in single combat with his enemies. Although he stood in the front rank, they were unable to kill him, and as a miracle from Allah, he returned unscathed. The deniers were similarly unable to kill this blessed man in times of peace, even though they had other opportunities. It is reported in the hadiths that Abu Jahl, known as one of the Prophet's greatest enemies, seized one opportunity of murdering the envoy of Allah. Ibn Ishaq relates from Abu Na'im and Ibn Abbas when our Prophet reached prayer mat to prostrate, Abu Jahl picked up a large stone and headed towards him. As he approached in order to cast the stone, he became white with fear and he returned. His hands still clutched the stone. Out of fear, he threw the stone in another direction. When the Quraishis witnessed this, they said, "What is wrong with you? What happened? Tell us." He replied, "When I drew near him, I saw a huge camel. I had never seen a camel with such a large head and neck. If I had cast the stone, the camel would have torn me to pieces with its teeth." At this, the Prophet said, "What he saw was Gabriel. Had he drawn near to me, Gabriel would have picked him up and cast him away." The way that Allah always foiled all the traps set by the unbelievers and associators in that they never managed to kill the Prophet despite the many grave dangers he faced, is a great miracle. In one verse, Allah had told the Prophet that nobody would be able to harm him and that all the traps set for him would come to nothing. When those who unbelieve were plotting against you to imprison you or kill you or expel you, they were plotting and Allah was plotting. But Allah is the best of plotters.